This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I'm going to wrap up, or at least put a caboose on this message. That's a big one. We've been talking about renewal, and we've been getting rid of the thoughts that are getting you. And so tonight, I want to recap a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about something in the Bible. It's called pulling down strongholds. And we'll talk about what that is. It's a good thing. And so let's pray. And let's believe that God can help us, that He can show us, that He can teach us. You made the efforts to come. It's Valentine's Day, and here you are. So you might as well receive a Valentine's Day from the Lord, which would be something that He could enlighten you with. And just all of a sudden, you just see something like, you go, oh, that is really good. And that's something. How many of you know God can show you something that's not even different from what I'm talking about? I'm going to be talking on one thing, and you see something completely different. That's how I actually got back to Texas. The minister said something, and immediately something went off in me, and I realized I've been in the wrong place. I'm going back to Texas, never to leave again. And so, but he wasn't talking about going back to Texas in the message. But aren't you glad the Holy Spirit can enlighten things? He can just enlighten us and show us things. So here's a great thing. Let's come with our hearts open and our minds open. I believe you'll see some things tonight that will help you. And how many of you agree with me on that? You can get some things. All right, that's good. That was pretty tepid, but I'm gonna go with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for Your goodness and Your presence. We thank You, Father, that we can just absolutely bask in the fact that You love us and care about us, and that You will never leave us and forsake us, and that You are a good shepherd to us. And tonight we ask that You would lead us and show us paths of light and life, that You would give me words to speak that bring life to situations, that shine the light on dark areas, that help us, Father. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit and His anointing and His ministry. We open up our hearts to hear from You, and we give You all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's recap, if we could, real quickly. We'll go to our text scripture in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. This is how we started this. I beseech you, or I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've been talking about the idea that if you can come to Christ, you can make decisions for Him, but we have to do something with our mind, and we've been calling that our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes, TBA. And as we begin to do that, the Bible says that we're not as conformed to the world. There is a pressure. If you ever notice, there's like a flow that's in the world that's negative. Have you ever just been away? Maybe you've had some reasons and you've missed church for a while. Have you ever noticed you can feel that negative flow just pulling against you? And then you come back in, you're like, whew, glad to be back. Glad to be back, and something's going in a different direction. Because there is a flow in there. This is one of the reasons we encourage people to be in church. There's this pressure that goes in another direction. So the Bible said, listen, if you don't do anything, you'll be conformed to that. He said, but you don't have to be conformed. You can be transformed. You absolutely be changed, but you're going to have to renew the way you think. You have to renew how your beliefs are. You have to renew your attitudes. And for many of us who've walked with the Lord for a long time, we can tell you our attitudes are not what they used to be. And for those of us, maybe if you're brand new in this and you're thinking, wow, I've got so much in my life that has to change. Don't get discouraged by it. Just stay with it, because it is a process. And if you will stay with the process, I'm telling you something, your life can change. And you may not see it immediately, but people are going to walk up to you going, I don't even know you anymore. What has changed with you? Don't tell them you just started going to church. Tell them you have a relationship with the Lord. He has changed your life and made a difference in your life. So we talked about that. We have talked about conforming, and we also talked last week about a very fundamental principle of how we renew our minds. And I took some time on this. Let me just reiterate it, because I believe it's important here. It's Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8. This is God's instructions to Joshua after Moses had died. He said, this book of the law, he's talking about God's word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. If I can encourage you to do one thing, I would encourage you to do what God told Joshua. If Joshua needed success, he needed to act wisely in life, I believe we do too. And so the principles that applied to Joshua apply to us. And so we can take God's word and we can put it in our mouth. And we're saying, don't let the word depart from your mouth. People have kind of taken that to mean, well, that means the only thing I can speak are scriptures. That's going to be difficult for you to function that way. And so you don't have to just speak scriptures, but what it's saying is that my mouth needs to line up with what scriptures are saying. Let me say, I realize sometimes that this is, I don't ever take for granted that sometimes this is some of the first or second time people have ever heard this. It's, you know, sometimes what people, especially those of you who've been in church for a while, you're like, I know that. Yeah, I know that. I remember the first time I ever went to Lakewood Church, Pastor Osteen said, turn to the book of Ephesians. I went to the table of contents. I didn't know where the book of Ephesians was. When I found the page number in my Bible, I turned over there. But by the time I turned over there, he said, go to 1 John. So I went back to the table of contents. I mean, I stayed lost the whole time. Aren't you glad we put scriptures up on the... So you could sit there and look like an expert. Oh, yeah, I know where that is. No, you don't. But the idea, what we're learning as the more you learn God's word, you begin to learn what God's saying about you has often been different than what you've been saying about you. And so what we're learning to do is learning to line up with what God's saying. How many of you have ever heard me quote that verse, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation? You've heard me quote that one a lot, right? So it would be good for you if you've raised your hand, if you've asked, you prayed that prayer, you meant it from your heart, you could say right then, thank God, I am a new creation in Christ. I am in Christ, I'm a new creation. But oftentimes what will happen is people will pray, maybe they'll pray that prayer, maybe they'll pray it a few times. And you ask them, well, hey, how are you doing? Are you saved? And they'll go, I hope so. And they're sincere. I genuinely hope so. Now, for those of you who've been in the Lord, in Christ for a long time, if I ask you, are you saved? How many of you had absolutely no hesitation whatsoever? You're like, oh yeah, that's me, I'm in. But when you first start off, a lot of times, people aren't that confident. I remember when I came back to the Lord, someone said, well, are you saved now? And I went, yeah. Not the big vote of confidence. It's kind of like, but you know, once you're in, you're in. I got a married couple right here. I'll go, are you married? Yes. That's a done deal. Yes, you are. By the way, I don't do redos. You're done. All right. We're done. And so if you've made Jesus your Lord, you can say this as confidently as I say, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So when someone says, well, I've watched you. I saw you the other day, you were mad at work, you cussed, you're not saved. You're going to have a tendency to want to go, well, I guess I'm not. No, you catch yourself and you don't let God's word depart from your mouth. You say, no, I am saved and forgiven. I've asked the Lord to forgive me. I'm going to tell you something, he attacks young Christians with that. They're just excited for a while, then they mess up and he's like, oh, the enemy's right there. Oh, no, not you. You didn't get a thing. You might as well give up. You're a sorry Christian. How many of you ever heard, you're a sorry Christian? One of his favorite tactics. He tells that to everybody. He tells every preacher after they finish, that's a sorry job. So you don't have to tell us. He tells us. And after a while, you just have to learn to go, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to stay with what God said about me. Amen. And when you begin to say what God says about you, then that confidence can rise up in you. So you might be like, are you saved? Are you know the Lord? And you might be feeling like, I don't know. Just go ahead and boldly step up and say, because you've already confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, you are saved. So you might as well just go ahead and say it. Yes, I am. Yes. And say it with confidence. And you'll find that the more you do, after a while, it just becomes second nature. So he was talking to Joshua, and he says, meditate in the Word. Now, we talked about meditation last week. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. If there is ever a time to get in on meditation, it's now. Because the world has jumped all over it. I read one of our gold medalists the other day. She was a skier, and she was talking about how she'd become mentally tough through meditation and breathing techniques. And it had helped her. Listen, I don't have a problem with you focusing on your breath. You can focus on your breath for a while, that's fine. If that calms you down, but then after a while, you can stop focusing on your breath and you can actually take a scripture and focus on that, and that's life. Jesus said that's life to you. And it's spiritual life, and it will help you. And you talk about something that can bring peace to your mind. Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verse 3 said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So there is a way that you can have peace. And I want to tell you, the world has jumped all over meditation because they've learned if I can control my thoughts, I can control the stress levels in my life. And I don't have any problem with that, but here's my take on it. Not only can I control my thoughts, I can control my thoughts and fill them with what God says about it. And not only can I control stress in my life, I can control fear in my life, I can control oppression in my life, and all the other junk that's in my life that the enemy has meant for me, I don't have to take it. And so there's a power in that. Now I'm gonna talk about something tonight. It's amazing how well y'all listen because I've just blown through more of my time than I wanted to. But I'm gonna read a passage. Carrie, I'm gonna go to that 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, verses 3-5. I want to talk about that real quick. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, which by the way, Corinth was like Las Vegas of its day. It was a wild city. For though we walk in the flesh, he said, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and that means fleshly, natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He says, we don't war. Interesting, you've heard people say, I just feel like there's a battle going on in my mind. There is. And that's where the battlefield is. It is a spiritual battle. But he said, but we don't have to use just natural weapons. We have weapons that are mighty in God. God's Word, His Spirit are mighty weapons that can pull down, so we say strongholds, things that have established themselves in your life that you just, it's that area that you just keep tripping up over, you keep having a problem with. It's those difficult areas that have become a stronghold in your life. And by the way, everyone's got it. So no sense in anyone like, well, I don't have any strongholds. Pride is one. But I want to give you an example tonight, and I hope this helps you, because I want you to recognize all of us, depending on how we were raised, our experience, things we have learned, all of us have areas in our life that have not been established in a godly pattern or way. Let me give you an example. I'll use my own life. My father was raised by a single mom in Georgia. And he grew up in the 40s and the 50s. Born in the 30s, grew up in the 40s and the 50s. Single moms were not common in the 40s and 50s in Georgia. And he was in, of course, Georgia is right near the buckle of the Bible Belt. And my grandmother, being a divorced lady, was often shunned. And so he really did grow up on the wrong side of the tracks. My father is very bright, and he's an extremely hard worker. And he worked his way up. He graduated from high school early. He put his way through Georgia Tech. If you know anything about colleges, Georgia Tech is a high-ranking engineering school. He got scholarships. He worked. He graduated on time from Georgia Tech. He got a job. He went to work in a cotton mill in the South. Didn't like it. Switched over to sales. Actually moved the family with a company called Bluebell. It's Wrangler Jeans. Moved the family to New York. I was born right outside of New York City. Not proud about it, but that's just the way it is. my dad, hard worker, But one of the things that my dad was very concerned about was the fact that he knew how he had come up and how he had been successful. So my dad basically was concerned that he would give me too much in life. Now, I was very blessed. Grew up middle, upper middle class. I didn't go hungry. But my dad was concerned that if I didn't learn how to work, if I did not learn how to do things, that somehow I would be dependent on him. And honestly, that was a fear in his life because he had grown up that way. He had to scramble for everything. He wasn't believing God. He was just believing in his own ability. He's a saved man, loves the Lord. He told me one time, he said, "I tell the Lord what my plans are and ask him to bless them." I said, "Well, Dad, you and I are just totally different, because I ask the Lord what his plans are because they're already blessed." And thus began the religious divide. So he had this mentality. I was 16 years old. I called him. I got my driver's license on one day. He sent me in the car miles away on the freeway. First day I'm driving. I mean, I'm scared to death. I'm in the car. I'm driving. But anyway, I wound up putting the car. I backed up into a ditch. And I was a place. I'm like, I'm 16. I'm like, oh, I just backed the car up in the ditch. I'm like, I'm gonna die. And I called my dad, and I'll never forget what he said. And I'm like, "Dad, I backed the car into the ditch." And he said this. He said, "What would you do if I wasn't there?" Now, and that question begs to be answered, but you are there. But the message I got was, you're not there. And I learned early on that pretty much I was going to be on my own. I'm 18 years old, and our conversation was, "Alan, you are now a guest in our house. I know for you helicopter parents, you can't believe that you just heard that, but that's what my dad said. He said, "You are now a guest in my house." And when I graduated from college, I graduated on a Saturday. I went to work on Monday, because that's the way you did it in my family. I didn't get a chance to go on a world tour or work at Starbucks for a while. I didn't even get that opportunity. I had to go to work. But here's Alan's mentality. I'm on my own. I'm on my own. I'm on my own. You know what a stronghold has been in my life? I'm on my own. And that I have everything I get from God, I better earn it. And everything I do, I better earn it. It's easy for me. I've developed a works mentality. Why? That's how I grew up. Does this make sense to anybody? Somebody say, "Well, I wasn't raised that way." I understand that. You probably have other errors to deal with. But this is the way I was raised. So guess what? It's harder for me to do. It's been harder for me to ask the Lord for help or believe that He would help me. Why? My dad didn't help me. He wanted me to get it on my own. Is this too much for you guys? I realize this is a little like Oprah, but just deal with me. Just for a little. The idea is, though, it can set up a thought. It can set up a stronghold that is not godly. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, "Let your conversation, your life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." So I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. See, a lot of times we're afraid because we don't think we have any help. The fear in my life is because I thought I was on my own. That's a wrong thought. So I've got to take God's word and begin to pull that thought down. Does that make sense? Some people say, "Well, Alan, I don't have that problem." Well, maybe you have a problem with rejection. And rejection has been such a problem in your life that you will do almost anything to avoid it or to just not be around it. There's so many areas of our life that we see where fear has impacted us, or rejection, or a bad experience, or someone's told you you're not lovable, and you bought off on that, and that became a stronghold in your life. And if it's bothering you, if it's been a problem for you, as you begin to read God's Word, light begins to come, and you begin to realize, hey, wait a minute. I am lovable. I'm loved by God. He paid an awesome price for me. In fact, He made me His child. In fact, I'm not only His child, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means I'm in the family. But you've got to take that verse and apply it, because for a long time you've thought you weren't lovable. And for a long time I thought I had no help. Alan, you're a pastor. Yeah, but that's a stronghold that had to come down. So how does it come down? Well, I begin to take God's word, and I begin to meditate on it. And I could walk through my house when Joy's not there. Because we'd be meditating scriptures, and I'd just be talking scriptures out loud. She'd go, "What?" I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Lord. So when we're alone, it works great. So I walk through the house, and I just begin to go, "Thank you, Lord. You've said you never leave me or forsake me. Thank you, Lord. You never leave me or forsake me. Thank you, Lord. Because you said that, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I have help. I have help on the job. I have help with my family. I have help with my kids. I have help with my grandkids. I have help in my health. I have help, and I have a helper. I'm not alone. I have a helper. The Lord wants to help me. He said He'd be my helper." See what I'm doing? As I'm going over this, I'm taking God's word, I'm putting it into my heart. Why? So the next time a problem comes, I don't think I'm on my own. I think, thank God I've got help. I can go to the Lord. He is willing to help me. Does that make sense? So if you're saying to yourself, "Well, Alan, that's not my problem." Well, what is? Some people, anger is a big issue. I have anger issues. Aren't you glad you can get those solved? I'm sorry, where'd y'all go? Aren't you glad you can get those solved? Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
That's right.
Is anger, is God angry? No. Is the world angry?
Yes.
Yes. Can I overcome that? Yes, I can. And I have to begin to take... Here's another one. If I said, okay, how many have to deal with fear? We'd just all be honest and raise our hands. Because all of us have to deal with it. We live in a very fear-plagued world. And sometimes it's worse than others. When Joy and I met, Joy, I'm thinking I'm on my own. Joy's codependent. Yeah, I said it. We're okay. We're past that now. But can you understand, Mr. I'm independent, Mary's Miss Codependent? That's going to create some fireworks. No mixie. That's not good. And Joy was, she was raised, you can't make decisions, you can't do this, you can't do this. And so Joy doesn't want to make any decisions. I'm raised to be on my own. I'm like, make a decision. Wing over, great. Joy also had a lot of men who were unfaithful on her side of the family. I'm a man. Thank you. And know it. So we had a problem because when I came into her, a lot of her family members didn't trust. And Joy didn't trust because men leave. Listen, if you got that thought that men leave, you can't trust, men leave, that can get in your life. And it's hard. Boy, it's hard to have a relationship when she's so thinking you're going to leave. And every time we'd argue, she's thinking, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. We argued all the time. She's thinking he's leaving all the time. What began to change that? She began to realize that God would never leave her or forsake her. And once she realized, I can't always depend on Alan, but I can always depend on the Lord. It takes the pressure off of me.
That's right.
I called her one time from, she was down at Disney World with her mom and the kids, and I called her and something was going on, and she's like, "Oh, Alan's so unhappy." And she, I remember she hung up with the phone. She finally told the Lord, she said, "Lord, I cannot make Alan happy, and so I'm going to stop trying." She said, "And my happiness is not dependent on him." Now that's a good place to be. I know this is Oprah-ish tonight. I understand that. Dr. Phil. Alan, you're Dr. Phil tonight? No. But I'm someone who, like you, is raised in an environment where not everything is walking in the light of God's Word. And as we begin to walk in the light of God's Word, it has helped our relationship. And the codependency is not there. And the fear that I'm being left alone is not there. And whatever the things that are that bother you, it's not because I became a pastor. It's because I simply did what God told Joshua. Take His word, meditate on it, put it in your mouth, read it, begin to feed on it, and then begin to pull those thoughts down and begin to challenge the thoughts that bother you. All of us have thoughts that bother us. All of us need a bouncer at the door of our mind. And when the thought comes, we're going to go, oh, wait a minute. Who are you? I'm a thought that you're rejected and unlovable. And you go, you don't get in. Okay, some of you got club experience. Just look straight ahead. But you ever been to one of those clubs where there's a big guy at the door going, what's your name? I don't see you on the list. You're not getting in. And if you're smart, you go, okay, and walk away. In our thoughts, Paul told the church at Philippi, he said, whatever things are true and honest and noble and just and pure and lovely and of a good report, if there's any excellence and any praise worthy, he said, meditate on these things. Guys, listen, the Bible tells us how to think, and then it gives us the parameters for how to think. And as we begin to trade in our thoughts for God's thoughts, what happens is light begins to come, help begins to come. Jesus said this. He said, if you continue my words, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, there's a lot of us that can say, I'm a whole lot freer now than I ever was years ago. And listen, if you'll stay with me, if you'll just listen, if you stay in His word, you abide in Him, His words begin to live in you, you can get freer and freer and freer. And this is, listen. And I understand because I've dealt with the depression. I have dealt with the oppressive thoughts. I have dealt with those strongholds. But I'm here to tell you, listen, there is not a stronghold from hell that can hold down someone who will simply say, God, I believe you. I believe your word. I believe your word is true, and I can come through this. And there is no addiction, and there is no something. We have been taught and conditioned that we can never overcome this and never overcome that and never overcome this. And God's not the one looking at you going, you can never get over that. In fact, God's the one going, I want to tell you something. You're my child. I've made you an overcomer. You can overcome this stuff. You can get through this stuff. You can make it. Now, one of the first things we need to stop doing is stop taking our cues from the world and the negativity around us and take our cues from God. And if God says we can, then let's take that and run with that. Well, Alan, they told me I'm bipolar. They told me I'm manic. They've told me this and told me that. Well, God's got something better to say about you, and you got a choice about what you're going to lay hold of. I suggest you get His word. It's the only thing that's going to give you hope. Amen. Say, well, what if it doesn't change overnight? We're not talking overnight. This ain't fantasy land. This is real life. And we're not worried about overnight. We're worried about, I'm playing this for the long run. I got a few more years left. I got some time. I will get through this. By the grace of God, I will get through it. So if you're not better by next week, don't worry about it. Just stay with it and keep going. God, thank you. Your word gives me hope. No one else does. God, your word gives me light at the end of the tunnel. Nobody else does. You say, well, Alan, I don't have any problems. Lying is one of them. Everybody's got them. And then listen, it's different degrees. It depends on how you were raised. It depends on your environment. But and if you're thinking, I don't know that I have anything. Listen, all of us are in the constant process. I believe personally, I believe we'll be renewing our minds throughout the ages. And learning to think more like Him. So we take His word. We begin to put it on. And then what happens is, as you begin to read His word more and more, it begins to shine. It's like a filter. All of a sudden, some of the things begin to filter in. You think, I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live sick. I don't have to live oppressed. I don't have to live down. I can have joy in my life. I don't have to live dependent on someone else for my happiness. I can depend on Him. And when you start to get to that place, you're talking about being a blessing. Isn't it a blessing to find someone who's just here to bless, no neediness, no nothing, just Lord's good. And you can get there. So I'm here, and I realize I've opened a can of worms. I probably need to close at some point in time. But if you would, read those scriptures. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Alan, I got so many strongholds in my life, and God's got many weapons, and we can pull them down. Remember Jesus when he... Or time zone. Remember Jesus when he was tempted by the enemy? Every time the enemy would say something to Jesus, you know, Jesus never looked at him and went, "Get out of here, devil. I'm Jesus and you're the loser." Every time Jesus addressed the enemy, he said, "It's written. It's written. It's written." We need to begin to do that with our thoughts. Thoughts begin to come. They're hurting you. You need to say, wait a minute. It's written. Some of you just are so tormented sometimes in your thoughts and in your mind. You think, can I ever be free? Yes. Yes, you can. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. And you need to begin to really latch hold of it is written. And I'm staying with this eternal word that lives and is real and abides forever. Would you bow your head? Father, I pray for everyone in this room tonight, for whether they deal with strongholds that are small or large. I thank you, Father, that in the light of you and your word and your spirit, they have to fall. So I thank you. Open our hearts, open our eyes, show us your light, show us your words that can help us deal with some of these thought patterns and beliefs that have been off for such a long time. And Lord, I'm grateful for that. Thank you for the changes that can come. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came this evening and said, "Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord, and I know that He knows it. I would like to have one, though." We're going to say a prayer, and this prayer is for you. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to your seat. Or maybe you're like I was. I was raised in church, made a decision at a young age, but I got away from God. Came back, got away again. Realized I need to come back to Him. I need a relationship with Him. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If either one of those situations apply to you, and you would simply like our prayer tonight, and you say, "Alan, I really want to be sure, I want to be confident, or I want to come back, would you pray for me?" We're going to do that. Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, "That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Great." You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Appreciate your courage. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Those that lifted their hand, we're going to say this prayer with you. You're not alone in this. We're all going to join you in this. We're going to pray this out loud. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you." Now, Father, I pray for those that prayed that prayer tonight. Thank you for those that have walked right into your marvelous light, for those who stepped back into the light. Thank you that you're helping us, you're strengthening us. Thank you, Lord, you never leave us or forsake us. And we boldly say, you are our helper. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.